Hey, welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silverbridge Ranch in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, enjoying a spring day, which is rare because usually we don't have any spring. In fact, you know, we're in the preparations for summer. Summer's right around the corner, and this will be the earliest that I am able to start building the set in the field, which I'm super excited for, which is awesome. You know, there's no snow. We're due to have a 70 degree day here. Oh, it's a castle. It's a castle. Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be fun. Yeah. It's our medieval theme. The theme is called The Hidden Realm. And you'll have to make sure you come for this summer to find out more. Or you could check out our YouTube channel. So if you go to Silver Tranch on YouTube, we're going to have some sneak peeks along the way of the process leading up to summer. And you might be able to win something free because we're doing some giveaways there. So if you're watching this now, you're on the Nicolay Bible Institute channel. So if you listen to it, you can actually watch these now if you want. So go to YouTube and type in Nicolay Bible Institute. That's where we host this video format. Otherwise, if you listen, keep on listening. And you can subscribe to any of whatever your favorite podcasting site is. Feel free, and you can do that. But we just love having conversations. You know, there's so many different things happening here at Silverbridge Ranch. You know, we have camp, but then we have Nicolay Bible Institute, which is our one-year Bible college program. We have the Northwoods Retreat, which is just down the road a couple of miles, which is growing, and we're just about to finish our lodge, dining room, canteen addition, which is beautiful. And yeah, just a lot of different things in the works, which is exciting to see.
Yes, we do encourage you to go to that website. And if you are a Nicolay Bible Institute age, that means you just finished college, or you're in the middle of college and college experience isn't what you really thought it should be, or you're a junior in high school or senior in high school, I really think you need to consider Nicolay Bible Institute, because it trains you to be successful at life. It doesn't just train you to be successful as a welder or a lawyer or whatever else you're going to go into. It trains you to be successful in life so that you're successful within those careers, and you can learn that on the job or at school or whatever else you might need to learn.
Yeah, so that. I mean, if you're interested, or you know somebody like, oh man, they should actually consider this, I encourage you to go to NicolayBibleInstitute.org and check it out. There's a lot of, there's some videos, there's a ton of pictures that shows the experience. And speaking to a lot of students, like, it's a year that transforms their life, and many of them stay friends for life because it's that impactful on their spiritual formation. And they're all from different walks of life.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean many of them jump right into work. Some of them go on to college afterwards. Like, it doesn't matter what you want to do in life. It's just a foundational year that just really helps you understand your relationship with God, helps you understand what it is to really die to yourself and to serve other people, which we talked about in the previous episode. And we're going to be continuing to talk about that, but then kind of sets you up to kind of jump at life the way that God intended you to do. So if you're at all considering, I encourage you to check it out, because it's a year that is invaluable, in my opinion.
That's right. And if you're concerned about whether credits transfer, we have a lot of colleges that they do transfer to.
Absolutely.
And if you're concerned about the resources, give us a call and see what we can do to help you get here, because we find it very important in every individual life that comes here. It's something that can help them be the person that they should be.
Yeah.
Once again, you have to make the decisions within those contexts anyway. There's no program you can go be a part of that's going to fix whatever your problem is.
Right.
You have to decide to be an active participant, to listen to what's being said. And if you do that, then you can really grow and learn and become somebody who is successful in life. And we're talking about happiness. We've been talking about happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And our last program, which they can get by going where?
You can either check it out on YouTube, the previous video, or if you're listening to this podcast, it's the one right before this.
Okay.
One. Yeah.
And the bottom line really is, we were talking about my concern as an older guy, looking at the generation that we see right now, seems so unhappy at times.
Yeah.
They seem confused and unhappy. So if you're somebody who's struggling with happiness and confusion, it really is, I believe, because you don't understand who God is and how he made things, because he did create things to work a certain way. And if you're living outside of that way, you're never going to be okay.
Right.
So there's no possible. For example, if you really want to be happy in life, but you have to live at the bottom of Sawyer Lake to be happy, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because God made you to be on dry ground. He made you to breathe air. And you cannot be happy unless you live in the context of the way you're made.
Right.
So it only makes sense to me that you go to God and figure out, okay, how am I made? How should I live? How do I need to respond to people? What is marriage about? What is life about? And all of a sudden, God gives you those answers, and you go, okay, I could live in the context of those, and you'll find that you'll be happy at that particular point.
Right. And I think sometimes, and we talked about this, you know, at the start of last episode, but just to highlight it before we jump into it, I think oftentimes that whole idea of, like, even putting others before yourself, you can't really just, like, teach yourself. You almost have to experience it, really right. Understand the way that God intended it to be. And we talked about that in the previous episode about even how we could do that in the context of camping ministry. But even if, you know, if you can't get up to camp, that's fine. You know, help out with one of the Sunday school classes at your church, or help out with one of the youth group churches. You know, that was the one thing that was instilled within me at a very young age that, looking back upon, I realized what I didn't know it at the time, but was hugely foundational in forming me into the way that God created me to be,
right.
You know, because it was the church culture. It's like, oh, if you're old enough, why don't you help out? And so I started helping out in clubs when I was in, you know, or Awana programs, right. Or whatever it was at the time, you know, at 8 years old, you know, I'd help out with the younger cubbies, you know, at the time.
Right.
And that was just the mentality. And I'm so appreciative of that, because it helped me realize right away, like, man, serving and helping others and putting other people first, there's something different about this.
Right. And you know, what I see in you is exactly what I have seen in myself and what my dad talked about. He said to me when I was younger, you don't ever stop serving, because if you do, you'll stop serving and you'll never be okay.
Yeah.
So now you're 40 years old or around that, and I'm almost double that.
Yeah.
And well, not quite.
Sorry, I agreed with that way too quickly.
Yeah, you agreed it way too fast. A little less than that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line really is, see, there, once you learn to serve, you learn that there's a real joy in serving. It doesn't mean you won't be tired.
Right.
And it doesn't mean at times you're not discouraged. And it doesn't mean at times your mind isn't overloaded. But those aren't the things that bring happiness.
Right.
The purpose in life comes from living in the context of the way you're created. And that's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask those that are listening, what stands between you and complete happiness?
Yeah.
And I would, you know, and I would give you a dramatic pause there, but that's not good for podcasts or radio.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you
go.
No,
that's too ominous.
What is it that keep, you know, it, and if it's something that is outside the context of the way you're created and you're searching for it there, you won't find it. So if you're searching for happiness by trying to find enough people to compliment your hairstyle, that's not going to work.
Mm.
If you're searching for, because there's always going to be enough people that won't compliment it.
That's right. You have nice hair, Dave.
Thank you. I do. And if you're searching for happiness by being the best athlete in the world, if you're searching for happiness, that's not the way you were created.
Right.
You're not going to find happiness there. That's not to say those things aren't fun, but they're not what gives you lasting happiness.
Right.
I often wondered why it's so hard to repeat as a champion in any sport, whether it be basketball, football, whatever sport you're in. And I think it's this way. When I played football in college, I remember 1 year I got a special recognition. I was an all-state defensive end in Illinois at Division III, which, again, isn't that big of a deal, but it is a recognition. So I got this little plaque, and I went back to my roommate in college, and I showed him. I said, look, I got voted, you know, all-state for – and he goes, that's nice. And he went about his thing, and then he said, hey, you want to go get a shake or something? So he left, and I threw that thing on the bed. I still don't know where it is to this day. but the thing that grabbed me was, you know what? It was a surprise to me that I got that reward.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, wouldn't it be tragic if I lived for that?
Mm.
If I thought, if I get that reward, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Because now it's thrown on the bed, and I'm happier getting a shake than talking about that or being in that status. And now at my age, I don't even know where that award is.
Yeah.
It's totally meaningless in many respects. And so what happens is, a lot of times I think when you get to the point where you win a championship, or you get to the point where you're financially independent, you kind of look at it and go, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And that's because happiness doesn't come from financial independence, and happiness doesn't come from being the best athlete on the block.
Yeah.
It comes from living in the context of the way God made us, and anybody can do that. Poor people can do it. People who are disabled can do it. People who are rich can do it. People who are poor can. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Anybody can live in the context of the way God made us, and you can be okay then.
Yeah.
And that's really what we have to understand. I was reading this guy. His name is Washburn, and he said this. It's not merely happiness. Whatever our shallow moralist may say, that is the aim and the end of our being. Happiness implies merely the undisturbed enjoyment of man. It may belong to the child or to the selfish person of the world. It may be spoken of as the miser's gold or successful prize of ambition or gilded babbles of society. There is no moral meaning in it, but it is blessedness that alone can satisfy. This guy was going through saying, we seek happiness, but we don't want it. We want blessedness. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of putting a distinction there. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You can be blessed and still be somebody who's disabled. Mm-hmm. Even though your disabling condition is painful.
Right.
I think of somebody like Joni Erickson Tada.
Yeah.
Who broke her neck and basically has been a quadriplegic. I think she's older than I am.
I believe so.
And so she broke her neck, and for all these years she's been in a wheelchair, needs help to eat, needs help in every area of her life for all these years. She's got a tremendous ministry. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask her if she's blessed, she'd go into tears and say yes.
Yeah.
If you were to ask her if she's happy about the condition she's in, she said, no, this is a tough condition.
Yeah.
But the happiness doesn't come from everything going your way physically the way you want it. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being blessed and being happy. Let me read. In the Bible, There's a perspective, obviously. And if you're talking about being blessed, you would turn to Matthew chapter 5 and read verses 1 to 11. So I'm going to read that. And basically, I want to talk about, here's the perspective. Jesus himself is talking, and he's saying, here's what blessed people look like. Mm-hmm. And it's not, he didn't use the word happy. Some translate it happy in some modern translations. And I would disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I would say there's a difference between being blessed and being happy. Because you can have enough food in life, and that means you're blessed. But maybe the food isn't what you like tasting. Mm-hmm. So you'd be happier if it was a different food. You know what I mean?
There's a little
distinction there.
Yeah.
So let me read the Beatitudes to you, starting with verse 1 in chapter 5 of Matthew. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And this is Jesus we're talking about, is saying this. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So how does that strike you as I read that?
You know, I think I've grown up hurting.
Here, okay, guy to ask.
The Beatitudes. And so that's kind of a loaded question because I know the right answer.
Right.
But I mean, for me, it's a good reminder because it's a roadmap that kind of gets at the heart of what we've been talking about, Dave, because there's going to be situations where it's not perfect. And I think that's what the Beatitudes get at. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to teach, you know, here on the Sermon on the Mount. It's like, you know what, life is going to throw you at various things. But here's the way, if you were to approach it, you can actually experience joy and happiness.
Right.
And I think that's the big picture he's getting at. Because if you were to take this list and compare it to, say, the world and say, all right, what do you need to be happy? It would almost be the antonym of what these statements say.
Right. Well, and when you look at those who actually know God, they love God, they walk with God, they know God, like the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
He basically says, no matter what circumstance you're in,
right,
you need to be content.
Right. And he probably wrote that while he was in prison.
He did.
You know.
So the bottom line really is you look at that and you go, okay, so the people that actually understand life, the people that actually know God, no matter what, no matter what the circumstance is, they're okay.
Right.
And really, if you were to define your own idea of happiness, it would be that you're okay, that you're content. Yeah. I think content is better than the word happy, actually. When you're not content, you think, I need to be content in order to be happy. So contentment is much more. So when the Apostle Paul says, in every circumstance, I've learned to be content.
Yeah,
that's kind of powerful. And I've learned that. I've been a kid that was in a wheelchair at one point, and then through my life, I've had different illnesses, and you know, each one of them, I've learned more things about life. I've been able to refocus on what's important. It seems like life can come after you, and all of a sudden, you are spending time doing things with the unimportant until something rocks your world.
Yeah.
And then you realize what's important again. What would be really smart for all of us is to stay in the Word enough and to apply it where we always know what's important.
Yeah.
And we live that way. That's kind of why we love having camp, because people need to get away from their norm a little bit. And as they get away from their norm, you know, they get to reevaluate their life a little bit, and then they get to get a different perspective.
Right.
You know, a change of place, as we've said, and a change of pace
challenges your
perspective. And I think it's often in life that we need to do that.
Yeah.
I was listening to a lady talk once, and she was talking about, she was a walker, and she called herself an extreme walker. And I thought, what does that mean? Well, she walks 9 miles a day.
That's pretty good.
That's extreme. Yeah, I would go with her on that one. I mean, I wouldn't go with her. I wouldn't go 9 miles with her, but I go with the term. But what she said was, it just opens your eyes. You can't walk 9 miles and not be thinking and seeing. And
yeah.
I'm reading a book by someone who used to be up here at camp, and now they're older and they're in California. I'm reading it. They wrote a book on grief and how the birds in her life help her go through grief.
Huh.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. Now, this person has enjoyed bird watching and,
sure,
you know, that kind of thing. What's interesting about it is just getting out and watching what God created and think it changes her perspective on life. All of a sudden, she's seeing the hand of God. On my iPad that I use here, the background, when it goes to a background, is a sunrise that I saw from my house. I honestly, when I just see the sunrise, I immediately get calm. It's almost as if God painted that in the sky for me. And when I look at it, I go, my Heavenly Father did that. That is absolutely gorgeous. That is a fantastic sunrise. So what's interesting is, no matter what else is going on that day, that sunrise is there.
Yeah.
And if we would take time to look at it, we're the blessed people. Those who walk by the birds and never hear them sing.
Yeah.
And by the way, at 5:30 this morning, the birds were loud.
Oh, they were.
They were loud.
Even after that, they were still loud.
Yeah.
It sounds like a sanctuary.
Yeah, but those who don't take time to hear them, those that don't take time to look at them. You know, the other morning I was working on some things in my study at my house, was where I do some things. And all of a sudden, I caught out of the corner of my eye, there was something moving. I looked over, and there's a rabbit staring at me. And, you know, it was a great moment. It was just, I'm just watching this rabbit. It's wiggling its nose. It's trying to eat grass. It's not green yet, you know, trying to find something green.
Yeah.
You got to take moments in life to realign yourself.
Right.
And understand that God has given you all these gifts and all these things. We are blessed.
Yeah.
We keep looking at the things we just want to change.
Right.
Well, we need to accept the things that God has given to us. I feel so sorry for this generation not doing that.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we need to take to heart, and I think you kind of capture the core of it even through illustrations of birds and sunsets, is that I think we have to be intentional to slow down.
Yeah.
I think one of the things, even as I work with young people during the summer and even summer staffers, is that everybody has a longing to want a deep connection with God and a deep relationship with God. And I think one of the biggest things that we don't acknowledge that's keeping us from that is our busyness.
Yes.
You know, we always say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I don't have any time. It's like, well, what if, you know, for even a week, you were just say, you know what, I'm going to slow down. You know, so maybe you're a parent of kids that, and every single day after school, there's different activities and you go from one thing to the other. What if you were to say, like, let's just pause on this? Now, there's ramifications to that. I get that. But I think I think the reason that people appreciate camp so much, yes, it's camp, but the concept behind it is we force you to pause.
Right. Right.
I mean, God's here in the same way that God is in your car right now,
right,
or in your bedroom, or if you're sitting on your couch watching this. Like, God is the same where you are at right now as he is here at camp. But for so many people, they come up to camp to experience God. And I think it's because we force you to slow down.
Right.
But if you were to invite God into more moments in your life, all of a sudden, this experience of contentment that you might experience up here, you can experience there. And I think that's the biggest thing that Satan is using against us, especially in a culture that we're always wanting to fill the gaps with something more.
Right.
You know, we're always looking for the next show to binge, the next movie to watch, the next video game to play, the next thing to go and do, you know, even on vacation. You know, I look at some families on vacation, you have to take a break from vacation because you're so busy on vacation. Like, if you need a vacation, just go and be somewhere and take a break.
Right.
That might be way more satisfying than anything. And I think that's even, you know, that's an oversimplified version of it. But I mean, the way that God intended creation, it all screams back to him.
Yes, it does.
You know, and I can relate, Dave. There's things about even around here, like whenever I go by water, like rivers, I love rivers and streams, especially
right,
when they're babbling.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's that calmness. Like, let me just be quiet and listen. And it forces me to do that. And in the moments, that's when I'm like, all right, God, let's talk.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, those that don't know God have made a big movement. And maybe those who say they know God have too, to do something like what they call empty your mind, meditate, that kind of thing. And they find great joy in that. I would disagree with the idea of meditation without thinking about something.
Mm.
I think we are made to meditate on God and his goodness
and
look at a rabbit.
Right.
And wonder about the rabbit and wonder about how God created and wonder and just enjoy that moment with God and talk to him. When I see a sunrise or a sunset that's magnificent, for some reason I enjoy those tremendously. I'll always blurt out, thank you, God. Thank you. And what I'm doing is talking to my Heavenly Father who made that sunset or that sunrise.
Right.
And normally it is sunrises. Sunsets can be beautiful too, but a lot of times, you know, I'm not in a good spot to see it or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But the sunrise comes right in a certain window at my little study area, and I can see it every morning as far as it comes in. And I think I encourage people, because the Bible makes sure that we understand that we should meditate. But if you go into Joshua, it's meditate on God's word day and night. And then what? Then you'll be okay. Then you'll be successful in life. And we need to spend time doing that because we get robbed from that. You know, everyone should take electronic breaks or whatever you call it. I'm not sure. As soon as you're done watching this, turn everything off.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it might be. But you take breaks, whether it be during the day, whether it be for a week, whether it be, you know, if you go on vacation, why not just leave your phone somewhere?
Yeah.
Go on vacation and not answer it, you know, for a while. Or answer it for 1 hour a day where you can, you know, whatever it might be. It does you well to get out of the norm sometimes that is trying to control you and tell you what happiness is and all that kind of stuff. And it's important we don't do that. Because you can be blessed even though you're in the middle of trials.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand that you're blessed. Lately, I've had some medical appointments and too many medical appointments. But really, I'm quite blessed because I think I live in a country where I can get these medical appointments.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it different than saying, well, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
No, I'm blessed. Well, wouldn't you be more blessed? What do you mean more blessed? No, I'm blessed because every human being is going to get older. They're going to get sick. They're going to get tired. They're going to get, every human being goes through that. Are you in a place where you can get the help that you need? Are you in a place? Well, you're blessed. I'm always where I can get help. Why? Because God has never left me or forsaken me.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's in charge of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm blessed because my Heavenly Father is my Heavenly Father. We've talked about mercy and grace. If you really understand mercy, it just is amazing to you because you will never get what you deserve. And once you realize that, at any moment you could be saying, God, thank you for your mercy. At any moment. You can go into a thankful heart because of God's mercy.
Yeah.
And if you understand God's grace, that's how you live day by day. Grace is getting more than you deserve. So today, as I go through this day, no matter what happens in life, I get to turn to God and say, God, you are my Heavenly Father. You can guide me. You can direct me. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm so thankful that you're the one in control, not the medicine, not the doctors. You're the one that's in control. I'm thankful that today you, the heart of the king, is in your hand and you move it like rivers of water wherever you want. God, today, so all of a sudden I'm living in the grace of God in the fact that I get more than I deserve. Mm-hmm. Happy people in life understand and respond to God's mercy, and they understand and respond to God's grace.
Yeah.
And if you do not understand God's mercy and God's grace, you will not be happy. Mm. And in order to get there, you have to understand what your sin has done. It has devastated life. It has kept you from God. It has stopped you from being what you should be. So once you understand your sin, you begin to enjoy God's mercy.
Yeah.
Once you understand your sin, you're able to enjoy God's grace. And now God's mercy and grace are very important to you. And even in the darker times, you're going, oh, I'm so thankful for God and his mercy and his grace, and I'm so thankful. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, was somebody who obviously understood God's mercy and grace. And you go to Romans and read it through, and you can see a great treatise on mercy and grace. Mm. And he's the one that understood that the greatest pleasure in life was telling people about God. So he's in jail. And his goal in life was to teach people about who Jesus was.
Yeah.
So they'd throw him in jail. He'd be handcuffed. In certain jails, you were handcuffed to two guards. Mm-hmm. And I could picture him saying, boy, I'm in jail. But this guard that I'm handcuffed to, and maybe he looked at him and goes, do you know Jesus? Mm-hmm. The guy goes, no. He looks at Dale and, do you know Jesus? No. I win. So here he is in prison. The circumstances are rough. It's not a place anyone wants to be. And he's looking like a winner, mm-hmm. because he gets to talk to people about who Jesus is, and that's what his life is about. See, the fun part is knowing that God created us and living in the context of it. That's where happiness comes from.
Yeah, and I fully agree. And so I encourage you, as you've listened to this episode, even the previous one, or if you didn't, you know, really, as you listen, I encourage you to, if God is convicting you, to take a pause from something, just to listen. I encourage you to do that. You know, I think so often we think that we have to go from one thing to the next without stopping, without pausing, without listening. But that's not the way that God created to be. And I think the moments that we enjoy the most are when we actually do that in our relationship with God. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on Younger and Older. I encourage you to, if you need to re-listen to this, do so, or check out some of the other podcasts that we've done. But for now, we'll say see you later and see you next time. This is Jason and Dave. Take care. Bye-bye.